So what we're going to do is we're going to watch a video, and we're going to hear some testimonials, and then we might share some more. We're kind of, depending on what we hear, we'll share. And before we watch this, and you're going to watch a video that Naomi Norton put together. So she worked really hard on it. As you can imagine, there's lots of pictures to sort through, and so we could have had like a 30-minute video, and it wouldn't have felt long enough. So we'll look forward to that. But I just want to kind of set it up. So you're going to see us in two different precarios. The first one is Los Triangulos. And Boy with the Ball has been there for about 12 years, and now it's shutting down. The government's actually coming in and saying, you need to leave. And what's happened is they've built up these leaders and mentors that have gone on to college. The average, I think, was it third grade? Was the average education level in this precario? And it's gone on. We met a family that the two daughters went on to college and went on to get multinational jobs, like at banks and stuff in the city. And they actually bought a house for their family, a large house, so the whole family has moved into this really nice house. And so you're starting to see the fruits, and it's actually shutting down. So it's kind of bittersweet for the Boy with the Ball team there. The second precario is called Los Cuatros. It's newer, and this is the dangerous area. There was lots of gang activity, but the amazing thing is we had to remind the kids, like, guys, like, don't get too comfortable. Because we felt so safe and so covered, it was like, let's remember where we are, let's keep our heads on a swivel, but it was, what was great, somebody was asking, our neighbor was asking, what would have happened, or why did you feel safe, you know? And just from a practical standpoint, we were in the community, helping the community and interacting with the people living there. And so there was no, people were walking by a lot, kind of doing like drive-bys looking at us. And what happened is they started asking questions what we were doing, or talked about what Boy with the Ball does there. They tutor students, they teach them English, they help them with job application, all this stuff that's really positive that the community could get behind. So that wasn't a hard sell. Yeah, sorry. Our service project in this place, you'll see in the video, was it once was just a big trash dump, and this woman had cleared it out. What was her name?
Sophia.
She had cleared it out and planted a garden. And so what we got to do was help build a fence and make it really pretty. And it was funny. She was very, like, talk about ownership. She had ownership over this garden and was very specific about the gate that she wanted in there and everything. And it's funny because Adam was helping with the design, and he's like, I think this would be better, but she knew what she wanted. And so you'll see, and what's neat is the Nortons will be there in December. They'll get to see the garden that we helped build. And then if we go back, we'll see the fruits that we were able to, or we'll see fruits of what we sowed. So,
can you just share a story? That doesn't work. About the fence, just because this was like a really powerful moment. We weren't there yet, but Adam was. And the neighbor to where this garden is, it's essentially like if you were in Ladera, like a communal grass area. And she's kind of taken it upon herself to make this garden. And she had just a wooden fence that was falling apart. And so she wanted a like cemented in as, you know, something more permanent. So the neighbor, right, kind of next to it, came out at one point and, like, started cussing everyone out. Like, not okay.
In English.
In English. She's also fully fluent in English. And came out real hot. Like, was not okay with, I guess it was where the post was going. It was on her property. But she came out really could have shut the whole thing down. And Josue, Anna, and Jamie, Anna was like, let's pray, and kind of walked away and started praying and went back, and they were trying to hear what she was saying instead of all the crazy things she was saying. And so they were like, okay, so you just need to move it. And so Adam was there, and he was like, oh, okay, sorry. Apparently there was like a waterway where she wanted her water to run through, and it was going to get in the way. So Adam, and Jamie was talking about this, how assertive Adam was, but with a big smile, was like, oh, okay, yeah, let's move it. Definitely away from that. And then he's like, I feel like this isn't working well for you. Can I fix this? Can I fix where your water is going to drain? And Jamie was saying how you watch this woman came out like with blows and wasn't even going to let it happen. And Adam re-cemented this thing for her and then smoothed it out even with a spoon. And she was on board 100%. Like, you watched the Holy Spirit break down what could have shut down everything. She called the police, and then she recalled the police to take her call back. It just was wild. Like, these are the kind of things we were doing, and it was neat watching each of us function in our giftings, and that was so, like, a moment where Adam, you just saw his gifting. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to play a video, and then we're going to bring up a few of the students that were with us. All right, the four chosen ones, will you guys come on, come on up? What's that? You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Nathan's going to sing us a song. He wrote a rap in Costa Rica. Can't wait to hear it.
Prepared a little something.
Just hold that.
Oh, hold this.
Try this.
Does this work? Yeah, okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Nathan Blanco, if you didn't know. And this is actually my very first time on an international mission trip. My parents didn't really want me to go, but it was an awesome experience. Five things that I want to tell you about this trip are, like, number five, holding hands with a monkey is awesome. But it's just so, it's like, their hands are so soft and human-like, but it's a monkey. It's like a monkey, though. And then when I came home, I told my mom, and she was like, they have so many diseases. And I'm like... number four, I already miss the people there so much, especially mi amigo Josue. He drove so fast. No seatbelt either. Two things you should know about this man is that he was a devoted man of God, and he's the craziest driver in Costa Rica ever, hands down. Number three was how life was much different when we were unplugged. At first, we were a little skeptical. We were like, why no phones? I saw that it became much easier to spend time with the Lord and how, like, I really connected during that time with others. So I realized that we came to Costa Rica as close friends, but we came back as family. Number two is when we spent 2 days working on a fence, a gate, it was so much fun, but I started out painting, and then I realized it wasn't for me, because every 5 minutes, Michaela would reach over, grab my brush, and say, no, that's not how you do it, this is how you do it. So I switched over to making cement, much more like me to do that. That was so much fun. Number one is what stood out to me the most was when we were doing the walkthroughs through Los Triangulos, and I just saw the joy on the kids' faces. Like, even though they're in the slums, they're living in poverty, the Lord just gave them joy no matter what they were doing, and they were just so excited to just give you a high five or a fist bump or sometimes even a hug. And there was just something about that just seemed so different from what I'm used to. God has given them so much joy. And so, sorry. I'm so grateful to all of you for your prayers and for the financial support you're given through that barbecue thing. And I just thank you for all the adults that came with us and for my parents and for Boy with a Ball to make this trip possible. Thank you.
So something that stood out for me was the selflessness that a lot of the people there had. Like, we witnessed that on different occasions, like on the big work day when we were, like, doing a lot of, like, manual labor and when we were building the fence. And it was, like, really hot that day. Like, we were working basically the whole day. And these two people from the community came out with a pitcher of, like, juice, Kool-Aid stuff and cups and just started giving us juice. And it was, like they don't have that much. Like, it's not like they just have this stuff, like, always around, you know, like they're struggling also, and they just decided to help us with that. And also what stood out is that that wasn't in the Recario where, like, Boy with the Ball had been there for, like, a super long time. Like, they were still making those relationships. And even then, they were just wanted to help us. So, like, that was really awesome to witness. And, yeah, so one verse that I saw that they were really living out is 1 Corinthians 16:14 that says, let all you do be done in love. And so we saw that multiple times where these people would just love because that's just what they do. That's their culture. That's what they love to do. And so that made me realize more of how I need to be, like, more loving and giving in my life just because of the Holy Spirit leading me into that. And one thing that we talked about in, like, in our meetings at the end of the day was how what we do in, like, our quiet times and prayer and, like, lessons and stuff like that isn't separate from what we do every day and, like, in our lives throughout the day. And how, like, those aren't, like, completely separate things where, like, it's not like we just wake up in the morning and, like, okay, like, have quiet time, say a prayer to God. Okay, see you at bedtime. Like, it's not like, that's not how it works when we're in a relationship with our Lord. We have to, throughout the day, be, like, using that to serve others and love others. So that really impacted me. And something that I think I'm going to be taking home and working into my life is without having our phones during the quiet time. Because so when I do, like, quiet time at home, I have, like, a devotion on my phone where I, like, follow it, you know, I read it. Okay, what scripture does it tell me to read? Things like that. Where when we didn't have that for, like, the hour of quiet time in the morning, I was kind of forced to, like, oh, let me, like, flip around, see what God wants me to read today. You know, like, it was more personal, and it made it feel more impactful. So I think starting now, I'm going to try and do that rather than having someone just, like, hand me what I'm supposed to read in, like, a little bow and, like, all pretty and nice. I'm going to try and, like, okay, what do I want to know today? You know, what is God leading me to see today? So that's what I think I'm going to take home.
Hi, I'm Gracie, and I got to go to Costa Rica last week, and it was actually my first time out of the country, so that was kind of crazy for me. But I just, first of all, want to say a big thank you to everyone at Boy with the Ball, to Courtney and David, to Hope and Adam and Carlisle, to my family for sending me and the people who supported me, and to the whole church for praying for us, supporting us. I really appreciate that. So a majority of this group that went with us, we've been together for, like, as long as I can remember, and this trip brought us so much closer than I, like, ever thought it would. If I'm being honest, going into this week, I really thought I'd be sick of everyone by the end of it. I was like, oh, I'm going to need to go, like, lock myself in my room after because I'm really introverted, so I need to, like, recharge. But at the end of the week, I was, like, really sad to leave. I found myself really missing everyone, which was so crazy to me. I, like, miss seeing everyone's faces every day and eating breakfast with them and just getting to hang out with them all the time. Some of the highlights for me this week was building a fence in Los Cuadros. Everyone there was just so sweet and giving. I loved getting to play volleyball with everyone. and then we just met so many amazing families while we were there who were just, while even though we were helping them, they wanted to, like, reciprocate and help us also. Like what Amy said about them bringing us out juice and stuff. So sweet. And, like, one of the other highlights was driving with Josue. and then I want to tell a story about not how I connected with the people as much, but how I really got to connect with God during this trip. So it was one of the nights of our meeting, and I was feeling pretty good that day. I was really proud of what we had done that day and what we had worked on. And then listening to the message that was given, I was, like, really, really impacted by it. And then we got to split into groups, and I got to talk to Taylor, who was there. And I realized why I was so impacted was because I wanted, like, more of God. I didn't just want this relationship that I had with him to be my parents' faith that's also mine. I want it to be definitely concrete mine. And I wanted to make it something that, like, I held on to. And so after the meeting, Jamie came up to me, and he was like, you seem different from, like, halfway through the meeting. Are you okay? Like, should we talk? And I was like, yeah, we should. and so Jamie, Anna, and then David and Taylor and I all sat down in the room. And as we talked, I just realized that I needed to give up the like fear of not being in control and give up like a fear of not knowing what's gonna happen, because those are two things that really freak me out. And I realized that those things were just blocking me from having like a closer relationship with God. And I felt really stagnant, and that was why. And so I remember telling Jamie, I physically want to feel God's presence in this room while I'm being prayed for. And as we were being prayed for, not only could I feel God, I could hear him above us, because there was a crazy storm going on with thunder and lightning. And I swear, it was so crazy. And like ever since, I have just felt so filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit. I've truly felt changed. And it's just so cool that God brought me all the way to Costa Rica to teach me that. And I'm just so grateful for everyone who helped me experience it and for everyone who went.
Good job, everyone. I'm Michaela Kerming, and I'm just going to read to you kind of what I wrote. So my time in Costa Rica was really fun, and I learned a lot over the week. I enjoyed spending time with my team and playing with the kids from the Precarios. Our group grew closer over the week, and people who were friends are now family. I am blessed to have them all in my life. I know they will always look out for me, and I will always look out for them. One cool thing about that, too, was we all got to pray for each other, which was super awesome. We got to be a part of some groundbreaking work in the newer Precario called Los Cuadros. It was cool to be a part of this because we hope to return and see the community and how it changed and grows for the better over the next few years. God used us to touch the lives of people not only in Los Cuadros but all throughout San Jose. What we did there will ripple outwards in their communities and in ours. On this trip, I learned it is okay to ask God for all kinds of things, even to understand him more. I also learned that my relationship with God is mine, and it's not based on a bunch of emotions. It is based on only me. I'm supposed to pray like me and grow my relationship with God in my own way. God also gives grace to us, and it's okay to ask for that too. Thank you all for your support and prayers. We expect to see big things continue to happen in Costa Rica and or for God's kingdom and here in our communities. Thanks.
Great job, guys. So proud of the whole group. As they mentioned, we decided that the first night that we were going to take phones at night, for sure, and then we decided we were going to take phones for the entire day, except for 45 minutes a day. And there was a small uprising. And in fact, they sent delegates. They sent Michaela as their delegate. She came, and we were having breakfast, and she was so... just a few thoughts about the phones. Some people use it to sleep. Some people, you know, and we had this conversation. But what was neat was, like, the decision stayed the same, and they had their conversation, and then that was it. That was the last I heard of it. I'm sure there was other conversations behind the scenes, but they did so awesome of just accepting that, and they connected with each other. They connected with the people in the community. And a large part of taking the phones initially was you don't want to be walking around these slums taking pictures of these people's houses where they live as some kind of souvenir, as this is where they live their life. So practically, that's where it started. Then it just became they didn't need it, and they connected with each other and with the Lord. So they, just so you guys kind of have an idea how their days worked, every morning they would have a devotion time from 7 to 8, and then the leaders would meet together. So they would have their devotion, then we'd have breakfast, and then we would go out into the community and do something. And then we'd come back for dinner. And then we'd have these really great meetings at night where different people would share. And the Holy Spirit really, really showed up. One thing I would just want to say for you guys, for the church, is the funds that were raised was really awesome. In the first Precario, the one that is shutting down, they built this really awesome tutoring center where it's like a community center where kids come and they get tutored every day. And it's really nice. And so they don't have that in the newer Los Cuatros community. And so there's a house that they want to purchase. And so we were able to give Josue and the team there a handful of money that was definitely going to go towards that building. And so your contributions are definitely laying groundwork for what they're doing in the future. So I appreciate that. And Josue was really encouraged and appreciative of the money.
And that the house, it's a neat story because the guy who built it overbuilt. I was standing in front of it with a group of us, and it kind of had, it was in the video, but he overbuilt it. So it's been sitting there for a very long time because it's overpriced and he spent a lot of money building it. But where it's at is in the middle of this precaria, which makes zero sense. And so Josue was like, I really feel like God built that for us, you know? And so he's been negotiating with this guy, and it was on the table at one point and then it was off because he just wasn't going to do it. And now it's back on. And so we got a chance to pray over that building for them to have it one day, you know? And so that's something we got to touch that we'll get to see whenever God kind of provides those things and the monies that we were able to provide for it, like just how good God is in that way. You know, he really was like, no, I feel like God made it for it. Like it was made for us. Like it's so nice in the middle of this precario.
Yeah, and I don't know if I was clear, but we're the first group to go into this neighborhood. At least Boy at the Ball has never brought a group into Los Cuatros to work. So we're definitely stuck out as what we are doing there. And so this home that they're looking to buy, as we were there, another donation came in for that house. So it just feels like God was working. And what Amy shared about the juice, that sounds really little. A neighbor brought juice to us working. Mm-hmm. Josue and Anita, Josue's wife, they were like blown away. They were like, nothing could have been more encouraging than a neighbor bringing us juice while we're working, because they're saying, all right, like we're accepting you in here. Mm-hmm. Like we want you to come and help. So that little juice thing was a huge encouragement to them. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have Courtney share a bit. And I just want to give Courtney, 6 months pregnant, she didn't skip a beat. We were walking around. Those of you that have had a child, you know that you have to go to the bathroom more often than if you have not had a kid. And so we're in these neighborhoods where there's not restaurants or bathrooms that you can use. So she was having to make friends with people so that she could use their bathroom. She would go, I need to use the restroom. And then she'd disappear for 2 hours. I was like, that was right after I heard about the Colombian assassins. And so I think she's going to be okay. So I'm going to have Courtney share, but she was awesome. And actually, her being pregnant was sort of like a icebreaker for a lot of the ladies in the community. So she's going to share.
Yeah, as you can imagine, there was a lot that happened. And so it's hard to sum up. And I'm really proud of you guys that just shared. I feel like you guys really articulated what happened in your hearts and gave everyone a picture of it. I'll just say one of the things that really stood out for me, it was actually the last night, Jamie. So we did these 5 topics, and that's what we covered every night to like kind of bring us back together. And then that's where really you saw things happening in the kids' hearts. And the last night was about living in the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jamie Johnson shared. And one of the things he was talking about was that the Bible says it is truly possible to live a life like the gospel. You know, and he's like, we'll read these stories and it feels like this really cool story. But like, we can live this kind of life, like this life of power and just watching communities changed. You know, like he's like, we can. And if you're not touching those things, ask for it. Like ask, like, God, I don't even see how this is possible. And then he said, this is one of my big takeaways. He says, the enemy does not mind you living in a church, but he does mind you living the pages of the gospel and truly living in the Holy Spirit. And for me, like our heart's desire, even for this trip, was to get our youth outside of themselves. And sometimes that's what it takes. Like there's so much noise and this phone thing, you know, we didn't know, but it's become a teaching point throughout this entire thing. But how tangible for them, because their phones are their worlds, you know, and we're guilty of it as leaders. It was very obvious that becoming unplugged and uncomfortable was what it was going to take to really kind of clue into God's voice and hear what he was doing. And not just when he's saying, like, the enemy doesn't mind us living in a church, because it's easy. I forgot, oh, Amy said it, like the 15 minutes in the morning and then I'll see you tonight, Lord, you know, but the daily, and you watched Anna and Jamie, and that's how they walked through these communities, was just consistently like, Lord, okay, where do you have us? Where can you protect us? Like, it's a consistent relationship with the Lord, and how easy for us it is to get so comfortable where we are, and to kind of cut him out, because we here, and especially where we are from, it's just, we can do a lot of it on our own. And where we were became very obvious that we couldn't, like, we really needed the Lord to move and shake up things. And he did. As soon as these guys are unplugged, they just started, all their hearts were stirring. And they, many of them were like, I want more. I don't even know how to do this, you know? And so it was fun to get to walk through that and then talk tangibly and how that looks when we get back home. Because the goal was not to have this mountaintop experience, and it can only happen in Costa Rica. It can happen in Orange County, in their neighborhoods, especially in their schools, in their friend groups, you know? And so those were things where I just watched the Lord, like, this is the life living in the Holy Spirit, is really listening to the Lord's voice and asking him where he has each of them. And I was so encouraged by it. And yes, being pregnant, it would have been very easy to not go, for one. You know, safety things, it's very uncomfortable. You're in very small vehicles, and I am not small. And so you have to get very small in these areas and different things. But even that, like, I had conversations with women, like Dave said, that because I was pregnant, lent itself to these women, to moms, you know, because being a mom transfers over all countries. But it would have been easy for that comfort piece to keep me home. And instead, I had these opportunities with these women, and the ones that would let me use their bathrooms, I ended up sitting with for a very long time and getting to share. And they would, you know, feed you, or they'd want to know more about you. And one woman in particular, I'll share this last story. She was impacted. She got to know Boy with a Ball in the second Precaria, where we're kind of new, because of the tutoring center. Her son, she heard about it, and so she's like, let me get my son into it. Well, she only had at the time like a third grade education level. And the problem with it is school's free, but what happens is you need school supplies and uniforms. And if you have more than two kids, you just can't afford it. They'll make $200 a month and they'll need $50 for the supplies. And so if you have more kids, you just cannot afford it. So many of them stop third grade. And so she had, so then she, essentially what was happening was she also has a 13-year-old daughter in seventh grade, and she's currently pursuing seventh grade as well. Talk about a humble, she is the mother of a 13-year-old and a little guy who's in first grade, and her 13-year-old are in the exact same grade. And she's getting after it. Like, she is committed to finish high school and then hopefully one day go on to college. And I just got to sit with her and listen to her story and then asked her, like, how can I pray for you? And her whole thing was about her kids. But getting to pray for her kids and as a mom, getting to encourage her. And you were watching, like, what? Like, this is wild. You know, like, here I am pregnant with my own situation. And then she's got her own situation. And at the same time she was encouraging me, I was getting to encourage her and then pray for her. And you just watched the Holy Spirit move outside of time and space in a way that I desire that deeply in my life on a daily basis. And so I am so grateful for this trip. I'm so grateful for each of you, the prayers, because there were things that, like, we really had to battle through leading up to this and during it, and prayers you don't understand until you're desperate for them, but I could physically feel your covering over us, and so I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah. There was a takeaway, I feel like a theme for our group spiritually that I think is for all of us as well. It's the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Mm-hmm. So we talked a lot about that. I asked Noah, I think, tell me about LeBron James. And he's a stat guy. So he knew all about LeBron James, where he was born. I asked him about his dad. He's like, well, he doesn't really know him very well. But he knew all these, like, little details. And I said, well, do you know LeBron James? No. So we can know a lot about God without really knowing him. So we can come to church, we can talk about it, but unless, like Gracie said, we're really asking for more, God is waiting for you to want him more. So the desire to want him more, many of our kids experience God in a way that they never had before. And I'm hoping it kind of shakes up this church a little bit, shakes up some of the families. I believe it will, in a good way. One thing, I'm going to just end on this, is we talked about how at times we feel unqualified. We talked about how our DNA is unique, how God's fingerprint is on us. And I shared one night out of Exodus 4 about Moses, and God's calling Moses to do his work, calling him into his purpose, and he says, I can't do it. And so God says, throw your staff down. So he throws it down, it becomes a snake. He's like, nope, still no. I feel like for me, that would probably be, okay, I'm on board. My staff just became a snake. But he says, no. So then he says, all right, put your hand in your cloak, and then pull it out, and you'll have leprosy on your hand. So he pulls it out, leprosy. Okay, now put it back, and it'll be healed. So he puts it back, and it's healed. Again, I'm probably sold there, Moses. No. He says, still no. And then he says, and then he goes on to say, but I can't speak. I'm not well spoken. And God has this phrase, and this spoke to me on our trip. God says, Moses says, I can't speak well. And God says, who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? And I was just talking to the kids going around, who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? So when we're feeling unqualified or feeling like we're not capable of doing something, we need to remind ourselves, who made your mouth? And not who made your mouth. Yeah, we understand God made our mouth, but what for? And so the big takeaway was, we can't know our purpose unless we know who we are, who made us. So we need to know that God made our mouths. He made us to live free, and we can't live in our purpose if we don't know who we are. And I was able to see some students really search for that, really ask God for more. And so I encourage you guys in your prayer times to just like Gracie and others says, I want as much of you as I can have. He's an untapped source. There is no limit to who God is. And so every year, I feel like I know God like as big as he can be, and then I experience something like we did, and I'm like, okay, I have no idea how big you are, mm-hmm. how good you are. And he is God of the planet. You know, he is touching lives in Costa Rica, Central America, as well as he's touching lives here. So thank you again for your support and your prayers.
I knew this would be a very difficult segue after hearing them speak. So I had Ethan help me out with a little something. All right, that's it. honestly, hearing David and Courtney and hearing those kids share, you know, just is this a different thing? You know, how do I go from this missions trip to talk back into VBS and all this? But, you know, the truth is they are completely connected. This is for that, for what just happened. That is just this road. I see Grace down there and saying, I want this. It's not just my parents' faith. It needs to be mine. And that is this long path of Grace's life and Michaela and all of them to that point. And this is just one little part on it. Conversations they have with their parents. Just all of it is God working and bringing them to that point. And that is the prayer. And that is what VBS is. It's that we get to play a part, that we get to contribute just a little bit to it, to what God is doing. It is God doing it. And we're going to have fun, and we're going to dance and do crazy things and have games and crafts and hear awesome stories, but it is God's voice speaking to these kids, as little as they are, to the leaders that are going to be in there, who we don't know where they are. You know, some of them are in different places going through a lot of difficult things, that God is going to speak to them. So it's all God's spirit moving on these kids. So you know, as we close, you know, just to be in prayer for that this week, that these seeds are planted, that God is moving on these kids' hearts to bring them to that point where they say, this is no longer my parents' faith, this is my faith. And we would love for it to happen in the story room, but if it happens in Costa Rica in 10 years from now, awesome too, because it's all God. It's all God working in our hearts and honored to play a small part in that and allow him to move and bless this week. Before we pray, just some things for VBS, please, again, be in prayer for it. Pray for safety. You know, this road out here is a little crazy. Rhonda had put the traffic slow down, but if you, I don't know if they're still out there now, but they were on the wrong sides of the street. So like if you'll zoom past our church and then you'll say your speed is this when you're beyond the church. And then coming back this way, it'll tell you to slow down right before you hit Los Alisos. So we got to switch that. But pray for safety, for the provision. You know, thank you for everyone that has participated. You know, again, we asked for that 100% participation. Thank you for gift cards. Still accepting gift cards. Going to be here for several hours. Anyone that has brought stuff and just used their gifting. I do want to shout out to Todd Halton, who built this Jeep here. Todd, is it four cylinder or six?
Here, hold on.
Six. But just available from day one. Last year, he built that crow's nest, you know, from our shipwrecked theme and just using his gift. So we are so thankful for Todd and others that were here yesterday and willing to be here this week and to commit to prayer. We just thank you. Thank you in advance, because it doesn't work without you. Friday is our carnival. It says 6, but it's 5:30. We're starting it at 5:30. Just so you know, that we'll start in here and then head outside for games and things. Look for a sign-up genius from Dave Williams has put it together. He's in charge of that. We decided we didn't really need the sign-up genius for VBS itself, but we are going to use it for the carnival. Yeah, God is good. You know, that's the theme. Life is wild. God is good. So that he would just continue to be faithful, bless this week, and just be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the stories that we heard today. Thank you for the stories that we didn't hear today. Lord, there are so many kids that went down there, and you did a work in each one of them. And Lord, the story continues to be written in all of our lives. God, help us to see that. Lord, that's what frames our entire identity, is that we are walking in story, and behind the story is an author. And without that, Lord, it's meaningless. Lord, help us to see that, to see your hand writing the chapters of our life and just to get out of your way and let you work in our hearts and in our lives. And God, we commit this week to you. Lord, we thank you for every child that's going to be here. Lord, that you have brought them here, gone through a lot of work to bring them here, that you would just anoint the time, bless the story time with John and Sean and just everyone that's going to be back there and the crafts and the games. And God, we just thank you. We thank you that we get to play a part in the great adventure of these kids, a small part. And it's all by your Spirit. It's all for your glory that you would bless this week. In Jesus' name, amen.